Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm so glad that we are all here. I hope that you, like I, am really, really tired of all the little white things falling from the sky. Whether it was the hail on Wednesday night when we were in church or the snowflakes this morning, it is the 27th of March, you would hope, but it's March. One of the things that we get to do today, though, is we continue our Lenten journey together. We continue this 40-day time when we pause to reflect, to confess, to contemplate God's goodness in the midst of our weakness, and it is good for us to be together. I'm very glad if you're with us also online this morning. There are Sunday school bags in the back, so if there are children here with you today, please make sure that they get a bag so that they can have another glimpse of all the ways that God loves them. Also, a reminder is that we have Sunday school after service now and before the second service. For adults, it's in the parlor, and for children, it's upstairs in the education wing. I also want to make sure that you know that you are invited to join with us on Wednesday evenings as we continue our Lenten journey with midweek Lenten services. Service begins at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and we're looking this year at how the church has used Scripture to help us learn to pray during worship. And so you are more than welcome to come and be part of that on Wednesday evening. I'm looking for some extra help in reading the Passion story from Luke's Gospel on Palm Sunday morning. So if you are interested, please come and see me as we're going to try to do something a little different. So there's the teaser. Now you have to come and find out what's going to be different. There we are. We have gathered this morning to be in worship. And so I believe it is time for us to join together in beginning that worship by joining in our gathering song. The song is God is Able. Let us rise and sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
we join together now in our Lenten Kyrie. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God,
have mercy on me, sinner.
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth,
set up your kingdom in our midst.
Holy Spirit, breath of the living God,
renew all the world.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with the garments of your grace and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Joshua chapter 5, beginning at the 9th verse. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 15th chapter. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And the slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The gospel of our Lord. May God go with us all as we walk this Lenten road together. At the end of last week's parable story, the one about the fig tree, we have a gardener kneeling before a tree, digging around with fertilizer and water with care and compassion and concern. But we don't know how that story really ends. We don't know that if in the next year there were all kinds of figs or not. What we do know is that the gardener doesn't give up and is spending time and effort to make that growth possible. Last week, I said that vineyard owner, that orchard owner could be seen as the devil, the world, and our sinful selves, the ones going around condemning, saying this one needs to be chopped down. And that it was the gardener who represented the presence of God in our lives. Jesus is letting us know that the presence of God is with us in grace and forgiveness, working to help us grow and bear fruit. And this is good news. Today, we have a story that begins with the Pharisees and the scribes grumbling behind their hands to each other, complaining that Jesus is spending way too much time with tax collectors and sinners. Now, maybe those Pharisees and scribes wanted to spend some time with Jesus too. It's just that these tax collectors and sinners made them really uncomfortable. After all, they were known sinners. They had cheated and stolen from people. They lived scandalous lives of wanton ill repute. And a good Pharisee couldn't spend time with that sort, couldn't even really be seen with that sort. So they were complaining. Jesus heard the complaining. And Jesus told them stories of radical forgiveness. It started with the story about a lost sheep and then a story about a lost coin. Jesus was trying to show us that there are times when we are, all of us, lost, whether as a known sinner or a Pharisee, whether as a pastor or an addict or anyone else, we are all lost at times. And Jesus in the story was showing us and wanting us to know that God searches for us. God seeks us out, and God does not give up ever. And when the lost is found, there is joy in heaven, great joy. And God's love is shown to us both in the search and in the forgiveness for all of us. These stories come later on in Luke's gospel after the fig tree story, but Jesus is continuing teaching those thoughts that he began sharing in that fig tree story. God is not about chopping down or leaving us lost. God is ready and willing to roll up his sleeves and to work to bring us back. That's what Jesus' life and ministry shows us vividly. But these Pharisees and scribes, as well as folks like you and me, we still need more convincing. Doesn't it just make more sense to let go of those who don't seem to want to follow the rules? Couldn't we accomplish more if we spent less time on cleaning and searching? Isn't it better to just chop it all down? Jesus still says no, and God's love still shows us no. So we get the parable we heard in the gospel reading today. Many of us know it as the parable of the prodigal son. Some now call it the parable of the loving father. Others know of it as a father and his sons. But what this story does is present us with kind of a worst case scenario and asks us to ponder the outcome shown. The story begins as a younger son decides that his life would be way better if his father was dead. So he asks if his father would at least pretend to be dead and give him his inheritance. Now you have to understand that that father is heartbroken to have his son say, you know, I really wish that you were already dead, breaks your heart. And yet that father still loves his son and he does what is asked. This father was willing to die in the eyes of his son out of love. And that younger son then runs off to a country far, far away and squanders his property in dissolute living. This younger son did exactly what the Pharisees were saying the tax collectors and sinners were doing. He ran around drinking and all kinds of fast living. But then worse, when the money ran out, there was a famine. Any new friends he had found dropped him like a hot potato, and he was left alone, abandoned, scared, penniless, and without hope. Eventually, he finds work at a pig farm, which for a Jewish boy would have shown how far he had fallen. And he was eyeing the pig food with a little relish. This is a worst case if the Pharisees had ever seen one. A sinner who ran off, lived fast, crashed and burned. There is no fruit there. And if ever a tree deserved to be cut down, if ever a sheep deserved to be left behind lost, here was one for sure. And yet Jesus' story doesn't turn that way. Because this younger son realizes his mistake and realizes that even life as a servant at his father's house would be better than what he had right there. He knows that he would barely deserve even consideration for something like that, but he knows that his father is a good man, and so he heads home with hope. He's repentant. He knows he's been foolish. He knows he's on his absolute last chance, but he has hope. Now, the Pharisees would definitely approve of the groveling stance that was adopted here by the son, but they would have held out very little hope for him to get anything from that father. They were definitely not expecting what comes next in the story. The father, looking out, maybe he spent time looking out every day, trying to see if his son would come home, and he saw his son, and he ran to him. Now, gentlemen of a certain sort of stature and position or of a certain age don't run. It's just not what's done. He ran. He ran. He sweeps his son into his arms and showers him with tears and kisses. Before the son can get his grovel on at all, the father calls for servants to ready a bath, to find clothes and shoes, jewelry, and get a feast started. For the father, it's not time to hear groveling because he was filled with too much joy. His lost son was found. His dead son was alive. I don't know about you, but I can almost see the shock on the Pharisee's face. Could that kind of radical forgiveness be possible? Was that forgiveness for anyone? Is it possible that it was for all of those sinners they'd been complaining about? Is it possible for them and for us? You see, the Pharisees were still upset and they couldn't really understand where the father's joy came from. And this is where the older brother comes into the story. Because in the middle of the celebration, the older brother comes home, hears the music and wonders what's happening. A servant tells him that his brother has returned and that his father is having a party to celebrate that return. And that enrages his brother. He refuses to go into the party. He sits outside fuming in all his righteous indignation. This is opposed the Pharisees understand. It's also opposed that I have adopted many, many times in my life. You see, I can be like a Pharisee, but I am also an older brother. I have sat in judgment over my younger brother, Phil, more times than I wish to recall. I have sat there waiting with bated breath and much anticipation to see him cut down or left lost. One time that vividly springs to my mind, Phil was young. He was 4 or 5, which made me 7 or 8. And we at the time were living in the house, and we had a long backyard. There were fields behind it, all kinds of things. And we couldn't find Phil. He wasn't anywhere in the house. He wasn't in the front yard. He wasn't in the immediate backyard. We walked. He wasn't in any of the long backyard. No one knew where Phil was, what had happened to him, anything. And I sat in the kitchen just waiting for them to find him so that he could get his comeuppance. You know, come on, I was here, always there, always listening. I was the one who was behaving. And they searched and searched, because behind our backyard, there was a cornfield. On the side of the cornfield was the livestock that all the corn was being grown to help feed, including horses. I don't know if you know, but Philip, my brother's name, in Greek translates as lover of horses. And he really did. And so there he was, taking his little 4 or 5 year old body through the corn that was twice as tall as he was. And he went, and he was standing over by the fence, watching the horses run. Thank the Lord, I have 5 sisters, and they were able to find him and scoop him up, and they brought him home. And I was ready to watch my mother pounce. She swept him up in her arms and showered him with tears and kisses, and nothing happened to my little brother. Forgiveness came. And it took me a long time to figure out really what happened that day. It actually took my having my own kids to truly understand. Because there is nothing that you won't do for your children. Yes, you stand firm for them, but even in the midst of all of the pain and confusion and all the rest of it, forgiveness comes. That is the point in this story. For the older brother in our story today, the father has such love for him as well as for the younger brother. All I have is yours, the father says. I love you. I care for you. And anything you wish to do is possible. The father says, lost is lost and dead is dead, and your brother came back, and that fills me with joy. Just like your being here fills me with joy. See, this is the message that Jesus is hoping the Pharisees will hear. Already, those tax collectors and sinners were excitedly changing their lives, repenting, returning to God, knowing that radical forgiveness is possible. Jesus hopes that the Pharisees will see the joy in their return, that they will turn off their judginess and step into the celebration of God's love. We just don't know how the story ends. And so this is where we are left to ponder. But as we ponder, we also have help. We know that it is God's radical forgiveness that reconciles us to God. Paul reminds us of that in our reading from 2 Corinthians today, where he says, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We are reconciled to God. We have a new, rebuilt relationship with God. We are beloved children of God because of God and God's love shown in Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to remind us that God does not count our trespasses against us and instead gives to us the ministry of reconciliation, where we love and forgive one another and bring friends and neighbors, strangers and even enemies into a right relationship with God. Sometimes we are lost. Sometimes we are lonely and hopeless and alone. Sometimes we return and there is celebration for us. Sometimes we sit outside in our own goody-goodiness judging others. But we are always welcome into God's celebration. We are always welcome to live that celebration. Jesus teaches us today about God's radical forgiveness. And then Jesus lives his life, suffers, dies, and rises again so that this radical forgiveness is real for us all. So may we go into the world celebrating God's love, welcoming one another and all our neighbors into God's radical forgiveness, because this is good news. Amen. Please rise. On Ash Wednesday, we began together a Lenten confession of our sin. I invite you now to join with me as we continue that confession. Holy God, we come before you with humble hearts, confessing our sin. We have chased all the vanities of the world and have wandered from our heart's true home. And forgetful of you, the living God, we have burned the incense of the soul before false gods that cannot deliver. Deal not with us as we deserve, but pardon our foolish and perverse ways. Of your clemency, wash us clean from all sin. For no adversity shall harm us if no wickedness has dominion over us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we walk this Lenten road, let us glory in the promises that God has made. Let us trust in the presence of the Lord and walk into this week without fear. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Jesus formed the disciples in the ways of extravagant mercy and profound welcome. Lead your church to be a community marked by forgiveness, hospitality, and celebration. Send us to transform a world plagued by fear and condemnation. Lord, in your mercy, you make the land to produce a harvest that sustains your entire creation. Equip farmers and farm workers who till the soil. Nourish the earth with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Heal grounds tainted by pollution or misuse. Lord, in your mercy. Countries are divided and leaders often harbor grudges. Reconcile nations that experience conflict. Act quickly to bring an end to war. Anoint peacemakers trained in the art of diplomacy and foster a spirit of collaboration among political rivals. Lord, in your mercy. Your people cry for help in times of distress. Resolve disagreements among family members. Save those experiencing financial hardship. Hear our prayers for those who are sick or grieving. We pray especially for Andy, Jack, Grant, Emily, and John. Console us with the promise that everything can become new. Lord, in your mercy. Your love comes to us when a table is set and a feast is prepared. Bless the feeding ministries of this congregation. Bring an end to hunger in our community and around the world. Lord, in your mercy. The one who is dead is alive again. We give thanks for those who have died, confident that steadfast love surrounds them. Shelter them in your love until we are gathered at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of grace and glory go with you as you follow this Lenten path, wherever it takes you and to whomever it takes you. May you go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stay warm, stay dry, stay safe as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.